This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You are led by the Spirit. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You are led by the Spirit. Our Lord is not telling us that everyone is led by the Spirit. When he speaks of you, we have to understand that St. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. The Holy Spirit is something that is particular and administered by the Catholic Church sacramentally. We receive the Holy Spirit when we are baptized. Not everyone that's born is a child of God in that sense. They don't have the Holy Spirit. This is why the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, you are led by the Spirit. He's contrasting some, those who are not led by the Spirit. He actually said, you are not under the law. You are led by the Spirit. We need to, in contemplating what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, we have to understand and step back and see the forest for the trees and appreciate that we didn't always have him. And even after we have him, we have to appreciate the fact that we have to take these words to heart. You are led by the Spirit, not you are drugged by the Spirit, not you're like the Holy Spirit's puppet on a string because now you're baptized and you're good to go. You're led. When somebody leads you, what do you have to do? Follow. You need to follow. You need to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. And you need to appreciate the fact that even after he starts to lead you, you can go your own way. You can stray if you want. I would highly suggest not. Stay tuned. We need to have this self-realization. After the fall in the garden, we need to understand that our condition was radically changed. When our Lord created Adam and Eve, he put them in the dark garden and he said, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion over the garden, take control. Because everything in the created order was supposed to work in sync with God. Everything in the created order is supposed to lead people who would be born of Adam and Eve before the fall, hypothetically, to God. Everything in the created order, heaven and earth at the Garden of Eden touched one another. God Almighty himself walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and spoke to them as friends. This is the way it was supposed to be. Not that way after the fall. After the fall, we start messing with the orientation with the created order. As opposed to the created order leading us to God, we start to use the created order for our own pleasure. We start to use the things in this world the way we want to use them. And until the Holy Spirit steps in, that's the way it is. This is why we need, first and foremost, to understand why we need him, why we need to follow him. It is imperative. It's imperative for your salvation. It's necessary for it to get you in heaven to follow the Holy Spirit. We hear a word that's used in our liturgy, old traditional liturgies, a word that we don't use much in common parlance, concupiscence. Concupiscence is the manifestation of what I'm talking about. Concupiscence is the desires of the lower appetites of our flesh, the desire to fulfill what we want to do through them, contrary to sound reason. Sound reason is to use the things in this world for the glory of God and to not use certain things to an extent or at all for the righteousness' sake. Okay, that's right reason. We don't have right reason. A lot of people think he got messed up spiritually after the fall in the garden. Yeah, indeed. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, intellectually, all those things got wrecked. We don't reason properly of our own nature. We reason properly in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, from where that second reading came from today. Paul doesn't say the desires of the body are this. He talks about the desires of the flesh. What's the difference? It's a huge difference. There are some things that we, by our nature, have to do. Breathe, eat. We really have no control over them. I mean, you can stop, you can hold your breath right now, but guess what? If you do it long enough, guess what you're going to happen? You're going to pass out, and you're going to start breathing again. It's your nature. It's how we're wired. We got no control over that. Paul is talking about desires of the flesh, desires that have to do with the created order over which we have absolute control. Without the Holy Spirit, that control is geared toward our own pleasure, or we don't even consider it at all. In the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that changes. This is the life of the flesh. This is before Christ. It's before His Holy Spirit, living for ourselves. I mean, we live in a society where that's pushed. It's actually crammed down your throat. I don't know how many times. This makes me nauseous. I heard people go to priests and ask them, about this, where if you look at Catholic moral theology, say, no, you need to fix that. That's wrong. And I've heard priests tell people, you need to follow your heart on this one. The scriptures say that our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful among all things. And you got a cleric telling you, follow your heart on this matter? That's demonic. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. And that means doing what the Spirit says. This is the reality of things. We don't want to live a life of the flesh in the church, things to pleasure ourselves. Because when you look at this, usually when we talk about the pleasures of the flesh, everybody's mind goes into one area. And it's like, that's where. That's not where the Holy Spirit, how He presents this list of the sins of the flesh. Yes, indeed. First and foremost, the ones that are pointed out initially are sins of impurity. But then it goes on to speak of sins of intemperance, doing gluttony, things like excessive things. There are some things that are very illicit for us. I put it out, before, our human nature. We have to eat. We have to eat to stay alive. You don't have to eat every second of every day. You don't have to dip your hand in the bowl of candy or cookies every time you pass it, okay? That's an excess. We can't do that. It's not healthy for us. There are some things that are by our nature that we need to control. That's intemperance, and that's what part of that list is. There's another part of that list also that speaks of things that are against religious or fraternal virtue. Hey, we need to understand that aspect of also. This is not just about all these sins of the Holy Spirit. Your mind goes to these sins of impurity. The sins also that are a violation of religious virtue. What is a sin of the flesh? I want to do what I want. Every Protestant that's their tenets. Me and my Bible. Me and the Holy Spirit. No, He doesn't work like that. It's not you and your Bible. It's you reading your Bible and interpreting the way the church, the Holy Spirit through the church, has always interpreted. That's your interpretation. There's only one. There's only one. And that's the one that the church has, that has been guided by the Holy Spirit. This is the reality of things. This is what we need to understand. We are corrupt in, as I said before, all the ways, whether it has to be with impurity, intemperance, or religious and fraternal virtue. We don't do it right when we look at it through our own lenses. We have to look at it through the lens of the Holy Spirit. As I said when I started, we have to appreciate the fact that Paul is contrasting something here. The haves who have nots. You have the Holy Spirit. They don't have it. You are led by the Spirit. He actually starts out by, you're not under the law. Okay, that's another one. A lot of people, my interpretation of that is called theologically antinomianism, against the law. See, the scriptures say, you're not under the law. That means we don't have to pay attention to the Ten Commandments anymore. I don't have to do all that stuff. That's a demonic lie. You do have to pay attention. The reason you do it changes when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're talking about contrition. And I said there is a perfect contrition and an imperfect contrition. Perfect contrition is, like is said in the old act of contrition, I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I have offended you, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. That's the proper orientation. Yeah, be scared of hell, but be more concerned with your offense against the Almighty. When St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says you're not under the law, don't pay attention to it anymore. He said, reorient the way you approach it. Because trying to keep the law, dotting all the gut, well, I don't need the Holy Spirit because I just keep the commandments. No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus proves that to us. Thou shalt not kill. You even think evil of someone. You can't drive on I-4 for more than 5 minutes without thinking evil of someone. Okay? He says, you violated the commandment that thou shalt not kill. That's a reality. Now, is our Lord equating the two? No. He said, nobody ever killed anybody, though they didn't thought about it in the first place. All right? This is reality. We're not under the law. We don't dot the I's and cross the T's. St. Augustine said that. What was the me go on? St. Augustine, under the law is when one is conscious of abstaining from works of sin through fear of the torments threatened by the law, rather than by the love of righteousness. Yeah, you can dot all the I's and cross the T's. You can't, but you can try. And if you offend against one part of the law, you've offended against it all. That's what the law says. This is why we needed Jesus Christ to come and fulfill it for us. He's not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He fulfills it for us. So we're not under any constraints to dot I's and cross T's, because the law threatens us with something. But under the guidance and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we rather do it because of love of righteousness. Jesus Christ was righteous, and he died for my sins, and I'm going to do every single thing I can to avoid offending him. This is what St. Paul means by not being under the law. We're not rule keepers for rule keeping's sake. We keep rules, the rules, because it honors our Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. This is the reality. And when the Holy Spirit enters our lives through baptism, and that's how he enters our lives, through baptism, and of course, are you saying the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything unless you're baptized? He's God. He does all kinds of things. But he works with, around, through individuals, but he doesn't indwell them until they're baptized. When you're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive graces. Okay, you become a temple of God Almighty himself. That's why St. Paul said, how disgusting it is because of sins of impurity. Because of sins of impurity, you're doing them in your body, and God lives in your body. And you're doing the most corrupt things while he lives in there. Very few people will commit mortal sins in front of somebody in their own house. You go all by yourself and do that kind of stuff. You're never by yourself after you're baptized. The Holy Spirit's always there. He sees everything you do. And that's kind of a disgusting thought to really think about when you think of some of the sins that we commit. Would you do this if your mom was watching you? You want to throw up if you thought about that. We'll do it while God's watching. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And as soon as he enters, he enables us to start to change. Notice it says enables. He doesn't make you do anything. He enables you to do this. You need to cooperate with that. And it's to our betterment. You know, I was talking before about when we don't have the Holy Spirit, and this isn't me being a hard case, this is the Psalter. They've given themselves over to be brute beasts, animals. We live like animals. You know, a lot of people get connotations in their head when they see that. I don't act like it. Yes, you do. It doesn't matter how much money a person has or how well you dress them or what size of the house they live in. or the kind of hotel room that they can purchase. It doesn't matter what goes on in there. If it's evil, they're living like an animal. We have to equate that by understanding, what do animals do? Animals live instinctively, self-preservation. You put food in front of a dog, most dogs, they'll eat it. If you put another bowl of food down, they'll eat it. They'll eat it until they throw up. Why? Because they're animals. They don't know where the next meal's coming from. Hey, I'm taking advantage of this. Excess. They don't reason. They don't know. And what do animals do? Animals run around, they be animals, and they make little animals wherever they can because that's instinct. You do that. We're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to think about things like that. And we don't do it properly unless the Holy Spirit guides us. This is this ability to move from living like an animal, as the Holy Spirit says, brute beast, living like an animal to living more like a human being is supposed to live. And if we do it long enough, if we continue to follow the Holy Spirit, if we seek righteousness for righteousness' sake, then we not only become more human, we actually move into the divine life. Newsflash, that's why we're here, right? Want to go to heaven someday? That's like the ultimate divine life, living for all eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the saints, for all eternity. That's what we aspire toward. But we have to appreciate the fact that we're not there yet. And to get there, our Lord Jesus Christ has sent His Holy Spirit to lead us there. We just need to follow Him. And it does not after you die, now. Right now. Because I said before, this is imperative. It's an absolute necessity for your salvation. Because what did St. Paul say? And it's really interesting. You look at Galatians 5 and you see this list of sins of the flesh. It does say, you who commit adultery and you steal and you murder, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. There's things on there you go, hey, I got these little things also. St. Paul throws a lot of what we would consider little everyday. Well, what's the big deal about that? He says after he says that, who practice these will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Kind of flies in the face of the message that you hear anymore. Everybody goes to heaven. No, they don't. Jesus' stats are most people go to hell. It's hard to get into heaven. Why is it hard? Because we've got to follow the Holy Spirit, because it's not in our nature to do what He wants us to do. We need Him to help us out. This is the reality of things. Anyone who persists obstinately in sin is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's St. Paul. It's not me. So when we look at that, you're not going to, what do I got to do that? There's a list that comes after that. The fruit of the Spirit. Kind of like this. This kind of jumped out at me this when I was reading this. He gives a list of several things, but he says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is. And he goes to the list. Why didn't he say the fruits of the Spirit are? That's proper grammar. Maybe, maybe not. Because what he's presenting is the fact that, you can't, if he said the fruits of the Spirit, you go, oh, yeah, I read about charity, joy, peace, patience, faith, chastity. I didn't get patience. I didn't get chastity. I can't live that way. Yeah, you can. It's in the salad bar. He's going to give some people this. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is the singular. You get all of these at your baptism. If you, I didn't get paid, you can't blame God. You can't blame God. You got it. You just don't use it. All right? This is on you. That's the bottom line. This is what we need to work with. And this isn't a matter of coming back and just go, oh, I don't have that, so I guess I'm lost. No. Fix it. You never go to a doctor and the doctor gives you a diagnosis and says, you got this. See ya. No, what does he do? I mean, that's where it starts. He tells you, he gives you remedies for things. This is what you have to do. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is wrong. You've got to confront people. You've got to diagnose them. And say, this is how you fix that. This is how you fix it. These fruits of the Spirit, we nurture them. Follow. follow and ask for an increase in these things, then things will start working out. Okay, because just working through things, we don't like that in this day and age. It's sort of like you want to throw a switch all the time, for some, like sort of a Burger King kind of thing. I want it my way and right now. No, God doesn't work like that. Okay, you're going to wait for a while. You're going to work for it on your own. Like if you go to Burger King and say, I want it this way, make it yourself. That's what we got to do. We've got to work with this. Because the scripture doesn't say that if you're led by the Holy Spirit, that you will walk in the Spirit so that you will not have the desires of the flesh. It says that we walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh aren't going away. I always get on people when they're in the office, in the confessional. I hate when I do this. Stop right there. Stop right there. Stop lying to me and to yourself. You love it. That's why nobody does anything they don't want to do. Nobody does something they don't want to do. So stop that right now. I can't. You won't. You won't because you won't let the Holy Spirit guide you. You don't want to deprive yourself of a pleasure, of a base pleasure, concupiscence. We're going to struggle. The Holy Spirit makes a huge point of that in Galatians 5. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. Even if the Holy Spirit leads us, we know what's right, we know what's wrong, but guess what? I know we shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's reality. It's a struggle. The man who wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul, writer of two-thirds of the New Testament, this same man, converted by Jesus Christ himself, very personal attention. He's converted, he writes the New Testament, everybody's looking up to him, it's St. Paul's awesome. And St. Paul says, I don't do the things I know I should do, and I do the things I know I shouldn't do, a wretched man that I am. Now does he sit back and go, it's just who I am, boys will be boys. No, because later on he says, if I don't beat myself into submission, if I don't chastise my body, which means depriving it of what it wants, if I don't do this, I could be disqualified. Share that one with all your once saved, always saved friends. St. Paul says, I could be disqualified. When you get converted by Jesus Christ personally, and I mean like really up in your face, like striking you blind, then and talking to you at length, you think you were all there. And even St. Paul wasn't. So why would we think that we are? We are going to struggle. That when we struggle, that means that the fruit of the Spirit will ever be more and more manifest in our life. If you're in a pattern where it's the same thing, the same number, all the time, there's a big question is whether or not the Holy Spirit's present in your life. Not that he's not present, but that you're not following him. You're not being led by him. Because that can't happen. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Not until we get on the other side of the veil. But it does mean that things should lessen. There should be fewer and fewer, longer times in between things. That's being led by the Spirit. We've got to be led by him. We've got to follow. And that's every single day. Every single day. Every moment of every day. What would happen is that, hey, I'm going to lead you through the woods. It's dark here. And you're like right behind the person. Okay, I'm holding on to you. And he takes off into the woods. Okay, I'm following you. And he gets like 10 feet and you let him go. And you're like, what happened? You didn't follow him. The same thing happens. We can follow him for a little while. We can be real close to him. But if we let him go, we'll get lost real quick. We're led by the Spirit. We, not everybody. If you don't follow him, it's not his fault. It's your fault. And there are dire consequences. So when he says, you're led by the Spirit, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really a simple proposition. We've got to follow it. In Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.